You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things sci-fi, fantasy, and much, much more. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast. You could say the start of a new era of Earth Station 1, number 501, if you're counting still. And the man who's sitting right next to me, I'm looking right in his eyes, and you know what? It's his turn to say his famous phrase. Say it, Mr. Mike.
Howdy. See?
Wow. People there we
thought,
go.
You know, with 500 episodes behind us, we'd go ahead and change. We'd make some serious changes to our show. And the fact is, it's just as mundane as all ever.
Exactly.
When you introduced it saying that this is just another episode, Mike, this is just another episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast.
We just trudge along, as we like to say.
Now, 501, that just sounds amazing to actually think that we are recording episode 501 right now.
Oh, it's pretty amazing if you think about it. It's still 500, it boggles my mind that we did that last week, and we just had a blast doing it. We had a great bunch of people joining us in person, and big thank you to Jamie and her crew at the comic shop.
Yes, thank you so much to the folks at Infinite Realities, Comics, Games, and More in Tucker, Georgia. No lie, it was voted the best comic shop in Georgia, actually in Atlanta, by the creative loafing crowd. So and it's, look, they just celebrated their 1 year anniversary. They're having a blast. They're doing everything right. Jamie, Chris, Brandon, great people who run that shop. I definitely recommend checking it out. They were such it's odd, Mike. I mean, after a few days after we recorded there, they had a wedding there. So they're just a host to all sorts of events.
I saw the thing and it was like flowers at a comic shop. It's like, what? And then I saw it was a wedding.
Yeah, these nice little fancy lights on the ceiling. I'm like, wow, we should have brought fancy lights. That would have been like nice ambiance and everything. But no, thank you to everybody at the store. Thank you everybody for coming out to the store. We had some people come from other states for the podcast, which was great, and everybody who joined in the podcast and the simulcast that we did on Facebook. It was our first attempt at doing a Facebook Live event, so we understand that there's things that we have to learn about that, but I think that it was fun to interact with the people who were checking us out and watching us live. We want to do more things like that. We are very interested in doing more live events and bringing some more stuff to you via live and that you can interact with us with. So mm-hmm. if you were part of that, if you saw us you have any comments about what worked and what didn't work, let us know, because we didn't see what you saw, because we were on the other side of the camera recording it. I'm definitely curious to hear from more people that kind of checked in to Facebook to see us, even if it was for a little bit, if it was out of focus, if it was choppy, if the audio was good for everybody, just things of that nature, technical things. And whether or not you'd like to see us do more of that, because we are for that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the comments I had gotten from somebody afterwards was like, they should have had the camera closer to you and I, since we were the main talkers.
Yes. Yeah, I did hear that as well. And, you know, I mean, we want to try to get everybody in the room, sort of, and show off the wonderful store. So,
we're learning, folks. We're learning, you know.
I think, you know, who would have thought that people would want to see us?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's crazy, Mike. I mean, we've been doing like 499 episodes and nobody wanted to see us.
Exactly. So. Hell, we've been to conventions and nobody wanted to see us.
Exactly. So that wasn't something that was on our radar that somebody would want to actually see.
Us. No. So. No, not at all. But that was part of the fun, though, is, you know, having Judy read the comments and everything. And it was just a lot of fun. And I enjoy getting out in front of people, and I enjoy doing live shows because you never know what people are going to say. And so it's.
But even on a smaller scale, we might be able to do it where Mike and I pick a location, whether it be inside the ESO headquarters or elsewhere. And he and I just get on Facebook and record an episode or a segment and get you guys involved with that. So we're up for doing a lot of different things next year. 2020 is going to see some changes here on the station, and we're willing to try new things. So we may be old and set in our ways, but we're trying to get out there and try new things.
Exactly. And you know what, you can teach old dogs new tricks, as they like to say.
You know, we might be going through our midlife crisis, so we're going to paint the station red, like a Mustang red, and make it a convertible.
Well, Mike, I actually was going to tell you, I decided to trade the station in for basically a mini. You know, I thought it'd be kind of cool for us to, a mini coupe, you know, with ESO on the top of it.
There you go. It'll save on gas.
Oh God. Yes. Well, look who you're talking about, you know, I don't know exactly. About that. So,
but, we had a blast, and I hope you guys liked 499, where it was just Mike and I, that was a fun thing for us to try to do as well. So $499, $500, we had a great time trying new things, reaching out to you guys, making you part of it. And we are excited about the future. And, you know, like I said, even though, you know, it may not seem like in this episode we're changing things up, because, you know, some things are going to stay, I don't want to say the same, but we're going to still do things like this, where we do our holiday guide, our holiday geek gift guide, because that's one of our favorite things to do in the year.
Oh, very much so. And it's always fun because you get such a mixture of people joining us, and you know, you never know what people are going to talk about. You know, if it was, you know, what was trending right now, we'd all be just talking about different Baby Yoda stuff. So
sit back, and while you're listening to us talk about these various gift ideas, if you have a browser handy, if you have the show notes handy, you can click on the links and follow along, because trust me, if you have an Amazon wish list, you're probably going to want to save a couple of these ideas, because heck, I mean, you know, I know that I'm ready.
Oh, very much so. And you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to do this. And don't forget, we definitely would love to hear from you guys. Write us at earthstation1@esonetwork.com. Please. We definitely would love to hear from you. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment with the holiday gift guide.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Hey everybody, Michelle here with an iconic rock talk show moment, and it's that time again. It's the holidays, always a time for reunions, lots of reunions with your family and your friends, always all good ones, I hope. There's a lot of reunions going on in the music world, too. Motley Crue has torn up their famous No More Touring contract. Whatever, guys. They are going out with Def Leppard and Poison next year. My Chemical Romance is playing L.A. next month, and the Monkees are hitting the road for 3 weeks in April. It's called An Evening with the Monkees, and Mickey and Mike will be playing songs from the entire Monkees catalog. They're also releasing a live album that they recorded last March, and if you buy tickets to the upcoming tour, you automatically get the live album either as a download or a CD. Also, Bikini Kill is going out next March through May, and the lead singer, her name's Kathleen Hanna, she says she hopes that for some people it's the gateway drug to feminism. Yes. And not going on the road, Coldplay. They're not going to support their album Everyday Life. Chris Martin says this is until they can offer carbon neutral concerts. He says, we're taking a year or two to work out how our tour can not only be sustainable, but how it can be actively beneficial. The hardest thing is the flying side of things. But for example, our dream is to have a show with no single-use plastic and to have it largely solar-powered. That is a really tall order, but I hope they find a way to make it work, and it's a blueprint for other bands and artists to adopt it, because obviously the world needs it. But it does look like we won't be seeing Coldplay on the road anytime real soon. And lastly, Grateful Dead are the subject of an upcoming graphic novel that's about the early years. It's called Grateful Dead Origins. It's written by Chris Miskiewicz and illustrated by Noah Van Sciver. I hope I pronounced both those right. It's coming out early next year on Z2 Comics. The standard edition will have a download of early Grateful Dead music, and the limited edition hardcover will have the creator's autographs. It'll have unreleased prints and early Dead music on vinyl. So an awesome package for Grateful Dead comic fans. And before I go, I just want to put out a quick shout out and a thank you to the Flopcast for mentioning me in their most recent episode and the blog with respect to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Appreciate it, guys. And like you, I know we're looking forward to see what the ballot holds this year. Again, the blog is iconicrocktalkshow.wordpress.com, and we'll catch you next time.
Armed with a queer woman's perspective, the Terminus Doctor Who podcast brings you passionate geekery for the world of Doctor Who, covering both the new and classic series. Come check out the Terminus Doctor Who podcast at terminus.libsyn.com. Or come look for us on iTunes or your other favorite podcatchers as part of the ESO Network. The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer, opinionated, Whovian, female.
As for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Earth Station One. Now it is time to talk all about our holiday gift guide. That's right, folks. The holidays are here, and we've got a great crew joining us tonight to talk all about our what geek gifts we can give to our favorite geeks, nerds, podcasters. Yeah, that's too.
So yeah,
you can do that.
This is together.
Yes. This is if you go to Amazon and put in Earth Station One as a wish list, you'll find all these items.
Oh, very much so.
We will say no to none of these. So but yes.
When you hear what I'm talking about, maybe.
Oh no. Now I'm frightened. But I'm very pleased that so many of you guys made it through the holiday, for the first part of the holidays, that is Thanksgiving. So the survivors include Ashley Pauls, who's back with us.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
Should we say aloha?
Yes.
Absolutely. So jealous.
Yeah, I've got the post-Hawaii blues tonight a little bit, but Podcasting always cheers me up.
Because I'm sure wherever you are, it's cold, much colder there.
Yes. Kansas is not quite as picturesque as Hawaii. We'll just say that.
Hard to believe. Damn. There goes my plans for honeymoon in Kansas. Well,
I don't think anyone's ever said that, Mike.
Yeah.
We also have Mary Ogle with us.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here.
Been a while since we've had you on the main show.
It has been. But this is always one of my favorite shows. I love the gift guide.
And we love having you join us, as well as our next guest. He may not officially be part of the network, but he's still always going to be a friend of the station, and that is Richard Ewell.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on for the third year in a row.
Absolutely. Wow. You see, you're counting.
I know. I'm excited. I love this episode.
Hey, Richard, remember, you're turning in your ESO key tonight. Afterwards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he snuck in. So we had to put him on the show this time, but he's locked out for the rest. So the third and final appearance on the holiday gift guide.
I guess JD is a little bit hungover from episode 500 still.
All right. So, well, I'm going to start the round with just a blanket statement, because as I was thinking about this, I think I've mentioned this before, but I just wanted to, you know, we always have new, I think we get new listeners every once in a while. So if anybody's listening to this that hasn't caught one of our holiday gift guides, at least the way I approach it, you know, I always encourage people to shop small, to support indie artists, writers. We know tons of them, tons of friends of the station that we've had on the show promoting their own works, their Kickstarter campaign and their comics, their books, their other projects. There's just too many of those for me to mention. So I'm just going to go with like items that you can really like just go out and purchase. But I always recommend supporting those folks. And you guys might have some of those items on your list. And if you do, very cool. But the way I approach it, I just can't choose, because I know if I mention one or two people, then there's going to be a few other people that are, I just feel bad that I didn't help promote. So, but if you are interested in getting something custom, artistic, well, one of a kind item, that kind of thing, and you need some assistance, you can always message me and I'd be glad to help on a one-on-one basis. So, because we know plenty of folks that are doing that kind of thing. So, including maybe even some of the people on this show.
So, I can think of one or two.
Exactly. So, Ashley, let's start with you. What is the first item that you would recommend geeks get this holiday season?
Yes, my first pick is a book. It's a science fiction novel called Recursion by Blake Crouch. It came out this year, and he's the author of one of my all-time favorite books, which is Dark Matter, so I would highly recommend that as well. But I'll read the blurb from Amazon about Recursion real quick. After New York City detective Barry Sutton sees a woman jump off a ledge because she's a victim of FMS, false memory syndrome, he decides to track down her story of suddenly remembering a whole life she apparently lived instead of her real one. The strangest aspect of FMS is that friends and family of the afflicted also remember portions of these false lives. Motivated by a tragedy in his own past he wishes he could change, Sutton is determined to find out whether FMS is truly false or the gateway to a new, better life. I thought this book was really intriguing, just the whole concept of alternate realities and how our choices impact our futures and what you would do if you could go back in time and change certain events in your life. Would you choose to do that? How might that impact your future and others around you? Blake Crouch is a really great author. He's good at doing kind of twisty, mind-bending stuff that really makes you think. There's a lot of good discussion potential around this book. If you're a member of a book club, I would highly recommend it for that. But I think this novel, as well as the previous novel, Dark Matter, would make a great companion gift for the holidays.
Very awesome. Very awesome. It is something I have not heard of. Is it new?
Yes. Yeah. Recursion came out just this year, I think, in hardcover. And I checked it out from the library and would highly recommend it.
Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else ever heard of this?
No, it's new to me.
No, but it sounds
It sounds great, Ashley.
It's so fascinating.
We don't read.
Hence why we've put the book club on hold, right?
I know, right?
It's only ESO fan fiction for us.
Oh, we didn't need to go there. No.
Ouch. Well, very cool. That sounds nice. And is it available like in hardcover, softcover?
Yes, I believe it's just in hardcover right now, but let me bring it up on Amazon here. I don't think it's available for $13.99 in hardcover on Amazon. So very affordable for a nice little
stocking stuffer. Yeah, that's really affordable for a hardcover book. So yeah. If you got a large stocking, that'll work. But,
yes.
All right, Mary.
Okay. My pick is the Wacom Bamboo Slate Smart Pad Digital Notebook.
Oh, awesome. I've seen these. These are awesome.
Yeah, I'm someone who is known to scribble on paper quite a bit, and I hate scanning things. And I love the idea of being able to jot down my doodles and then easily turn them into digital files. And that's exactly what this is. It's a tablet you can use. You can use real paper with it, which I really like because I just love the feel of real paper. And there's a special pen. And you know, I work digitally so much that it's nice to have an excuse to sketch by hand without having to worry about any extra work to turn my creations into digital files. So if you have a writer or an artist in your life or anyone who likes to take notes by hand, just likes to doodle and save their stuff, I think this would be a great gift.
Wow. Absolutely. This is already on, this is now officially on my wish list.
And I could speak to, I had for the longest time a stylus from Bamboo that I used, and I got so accustomed to it, I didn't even, I didn't use a mouse for a long, years, because I just felt so comfortable with that sort of using that for moving around, and it just felt better on my wrist.
That is awesome.
Yeah, just it feels, yeah, that's, I really like that you can take a break from all the keyboarding, all the mousing, because it does really start to affect me also. And plus there's just something freeing about being able to draw again.
I can actually even possibly send this to my boss at work, because, you know, being a user experience designer, I could do, instead of doing it up on a whiteboard, I could sketch it out and it could go up on a computer monitor or something like that.
Yeah, it would be great for something like that.
So this is awesome.
And the price is really good too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's, what is it, 146 now? 146.67, because, you know, not 68.
Not 60, well, you don't mention 69 on the show.
Great, Mike. Now we just got an adult tag.
But, you know, $150, not bad at all for something I think you could get a lot of use and fun out of.
Very good. Very good. All right, Richard.
Well, my first item is going to be my biggest item in money-wise and in size, but there's a company called Arcade 1-Up. If you've been to Walmart, you've seen a lot of their products. But they do as life-size a car arcade cabinet as they can to make it affordable. So it's probably better suited for like kids, but they do make risers to make it taller for adults. But what I think is great is they released the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle arcade game, and it's actually got two games on it. It's got the original arcade game from the early 90s, and it's got the Turtles in Time from probably mid 90s. And Turtles in Time is a really, really good beat 'em up brawler, and both of them are. But the first one I played a little bit at the Walmart here in town, and the first one I could feel the age a little bit, but the Turtles in Time, it does really good. Like, it's really smooth and the action is really good. And that one, you get different scenes and time out of space, like you get to fight on pirate ships and all sorts of different areas. It's a little on the expensive side, but if you're looking for to get a big gift for somebody, it would be a good one to have.
Especially for Turtle fans.
Oh yeah, especially now. You know, they're having an anniversary this year. Yeah.
Yep.
And so this is perfect.
They're on the Toys That Made Us show now. It's beautiful too. Just if you're gonna put it in a nerd room, the side cabinet is gorgeous. The graphics and art on the cabinet itself is really cool. So I think it'd make a good addition, especially if you're building a game room.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Well, now we got the big stuff coming out apparently in this round.
I mean, I think with the riser, it's like $400, but you know,
it's not terrible.
I mean you're getting two arcade games, and it's all four. It's a four player, which usually on these arcade one-ups it's only two, but it's a four player game, so you can be all the turtles
and you don't need quarters.
No.
that would be a deal breaker for me if you need quarters.
Well, you charge your friends, right?
it could act like a bank. So
well, some of us need a retirement fund, come on.
Exactly. Well, that's very cool. This is cool. I like this style because it reminds me of you know, being around the tree and everybody, you know, opens their presents.
What did you get?
Yeah. So, Mike, what did you get?
Lately, Judy and I have been playing a lot of board games. And there's this one game that we've discovered and we've been playing with a few different friends and everything. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Ticket to Ride.
Oh, yeah.
And it is an amazing board game that you play with at least, you know, 2 to 3, 4, maybe even 5 people. And it's just awesome. And you're basically, hate to say, put it this way, but you're laying a train line out and you have, you know, cards and you have to create a train line from point A to point B. Ticket to Ride, the original one, which I'm talking about tonight, is the whole continental United States, which is pretty cool. And the cities, you have to get from city point one to point B, and you try to block some of the other players as you're putting your line through, and they have to find an alternate route to get through. And it's a lot of fun how you play, and it's competitive. It makes you think. It's a lot of strategy. And, you know, and now they have like 4 different versions of it out. Actually, the last I saw, they had a Europe version. They had a UK version. They also have ships and trains. And then they also have a New York City where you have all the mass transit. So it's pretty cool. And it's a lot of fun. And the original game, I think, is about $49. But you can find it on sale for as low as $29 during the holidays. So it's definitely worth it. And it's an all ages game. You know, you could play anywhere from like 10 years old up. And it's just a ton of fun.
Some of my family was playing this over the weekend, actually. I didn't play it, but I was watching them. It looked cool.
Mm-hmm. So that was my first choice.
That's a great choice. And yeah, I like the fact that it's, you know, there's no quarters.
So exactly.
That's a key for games, for me anyway, because I'm cheap. So, I like the fact that it promotes, especially with families, it promotes like game night. And, you know, instead of everybody looking at their phones or their tablets.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know some people have to look up, where is Albuquerque? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, and you know, for young folks, it's like, oh, what's a train?
Exactly. What? A train?
What's a locomotive?
Exactly.
But it's got that kind of steampunkish look to it, you know?
It does. It definitely does. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's great. And it's nice, like you said, Mike, that you're not sitting in front of a video game or doing, you know, in front of a TV or your phone. You actually are sitting around a table with a board in front of you and, you know, playing a game together.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. It inspires that. My first pick does not inspire that at all. It is very selfish, but I think I've gotten into the habit now. It just feels like I always start off with something Star Wars related. So I had to, like, you know, I dug through around. I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff coming out now. I mean, it is crazy how much Star Wars stuff is out there. And
just wait till the Baby Yoda stuff gets
there. Well, I was going to say, like, I'm surprised all of us aren't just saying Baby Yoda, show over, done, right? yeah, they can't make those fast enough. That's going to be like the Tickle Me Elmo of this year, right?
Tickle
it's
going to
be
crazy.
People are just going to be,
yeah.
Tickle Me Yoda.
I laugh.
So, does it come with a frog that it swallows? That would be awesome. No, I decided, and yeah, so I went through all a bunch of stuff. Boy, some stuff I did not know that Disney licensed out to, so that was eye-opening. I went with Adidas. They have a whole line of Adidas shoes, Star Wars themed shoes, that I thought were just very, very cool looking, very stylish. Of course, I don't know much about style. I'm really nerdy. So I can remember back in the day that if I'd worn these, I would have gotten a lot of crap for it. Now, probably not so much. Now people be like, hey, those sneakers. But I couldn't really decide on which ones, because there's so many types. I'm partial to the R2-D2 ones. And they have kid sizes, of course, as well as adult sizes, women and men, of course. The Obi-Wan shoes didn't really look like anything to me, so I don't know if I was missing something there. But maybe that's a Jedi mind trick, right? It's like, these aren't the shoes you're looking for. Exactly. But I do like the, like I said, I like the BB-8 shoes were kind of cool looking, but the R2 shoes were the ones that I think, got me. Of course, there's Sith, there's, Alliance shoes. There's some really funky, like purple ones that are, I guess, Mace Windu inspired. I'm not sure, with his lightsaber and all that. But I thought these were really cool. And yeah, they're probably a little bit more priced, of course, because of the Star Wars license. But and they're sneakers. I mean, sneakers are ungodly expensive now anyway. So, but I don't know. You guys are looking at the website, I think. So is there any that point out to you, or do you think they all look hideous?
The R2 ones are awesome. Yeah.
I like the black ones. Those are kind of cool.
The black and red ones, like the sort of Sith,
the Sith-y looking ones. Yeah, those could be cool. But yeah, no, they're neat. You know,
there's some kind of stormtrooper-ish ones, that I thought were kind of interesting too.
These four D shoe Star Wars for $300 is a little bit rich for me.
Yeah, those are.
If I'm gonna spend that money, I'm buying that Turtles game.
So, although I'm not sure, I was wondering even if Ashley already had a pair.
I do not, but I will take pretty much anything Star Wars. So if anybody has extra money lying around, would love to send me a pair, I will wear them.
So that is my first pick. So I got my Star Wars stuff out of the way. All right, we'll go back to you, Ashley.
All right, well, I'm going to kind of continue Mike's trend of talking about board games. And the next item on my list that I would like to pick is a board game called Smash Up. It's not a new game, but they are always coming out with expansions and variety packs for it. So that's a good way to keep it fresh. The best way to describe this game, I would say, is that it's a competitive card game where you get to build your own deck. The box comes with a variety of factions. Like, for example, there's ninjas, pirates, steampunk, ghosts, just a whole variety of ones. And you pick two different factions and then you shuffle them all together. Like, let's say you were going to be the pirate zombies. And then you would play with other players who have mixed up and matched up their own decks and compete to see who gets the most points. And it's really fun. There are all kinds of great little geeky themes. The game is fresh every time you play it because you build your own card deck to compete with each time. There's a whole bunch of expansion packs. As I mentioned before, there's one that's kind of playing off of Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Star Trek. There are dragons, kittens, penguins, sharks, and tornadoes. Those are real ones. That's kind of funny. You can make a Sharknado faction, but it's a really fun game. It's one that my husband and I like to play together a lot. It's a little more complicated than some basic board games like Monopoly or Sorry, I would say, but it's not super complicated. So it's about kind of like at Ticket to Ride level, I would say, but it's a great fun game, multiple players. And my favorite part is basically just kind of building your own deck and seeing what you can come up with.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Great.
Yeah. I know nothing about card games. I mean, a lot of people, of course, younger than me are, you know, Magic the Gathering and Pokemon were big, huge, a part of growing up. And that just was not something that I was keen on. I mean, we just had like, you know, fish. Right, exactly. So I'm always intrigued, but I've actually never sat down and played like a cards game like that. Now, is that an all ages thing as well?
I would say it's probably for like teen and up, I would say. Just there's a lot of card text on the cards to read. It's not complicated to play once you figure it out, but you do have to read the card text. But I would say like teenagers and fun for the family. It's a cool board game, and my husband and I get a lot of enjoyment out of playing with it.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, you guys are like you know, talking about promoting, you know, people playing and working together. My stuff is all like selfish. Like you just do, like you just enjoy while you're alone. So
he's all solo.
Yeah, right. Mary, what you got? What's under the tree for you?
All right. Well, next up I have Hollywood, Her Story, An Illustrated History of Women and the Movies.
Oh, awesome.
Ooh, it is, that sounds very cool. It is a gorgeous book. And it's quite reasonable. The hardcover is only about $24. No,
that's not bad.
The best thing about it is you get to know the women behind the camera, not just the actresses we're already familiar with. And it starts in 1896 with the story of the first female director and continues through the present day. And, you know, women played a huge role in the development of the film industry and continue to do so today. But you hear very little about their history. And this book tells the stories of women directors, composers, animators, editors, screenwriters, on. And it's beautifully laid out with tons of great photos and illustrations. I think it's a great gift for anyone interested in celebrating women's stories or filmmaking or interested in history. It's a gorgeous book. I'd highly recommend it.
That is very fantastic. Cool. That is very cool. I, of course, you know, I'm addicted to Turner Classic Movies. And one thing I noticed that they've been making a lot more of an effort for is to spotlight different diversity when it comes to, and spotlighting that throughout the history of film. The other day I saw, I was actually watching one of the more, I think there, as far as the initial film wave of film noir that started in the 40s and 50s, there was really only one of them that was directed by a woman, and it was Ida Lupino. And it didn't have any women in it. It was just like, because it wasn't like, you know, women didn't just tell like women's mm-hmm. stories. They're capable of telling stories just like any dude is. And this is really cool. This puts together a lot of names that some of which I'm familiar with and some of which I'm not. So that's really
cool. I really liked it because it highlighted the backstory, the people behind the camera. And that's just not something you hear about very often.
Absolutely. And I love the sort of the golden age of Hollywood, seeing the pictures, the glamorous shots and all that kind of stuff. There seems like there's some sort of magic to that is not existent in this time period. It's more of a fantasy thing, but still it's really cool.
Yeah, well, we're not as removed from it as we were. I mean, it's you know, people know a lot more about the process and how things are made, and so it's lost a little of that sort of magic element.
Right. Well, and we've turned into like, you know, these produced studio factory glamour queens and kings to, you know, people taking selfies. Like it's just like so I mean, there's just sort of something really cool about that. So very cool. I did not even. Yeah. And I'm always cool to learn about new books like this. So very, very nice. Cool. All right, Richard.
Well, I will stay on that book kick and mention miserbros.com. If that sounds familiar, then you know Rankin Bass. Rick Goldsmith is the historian for Rankin Bass. And so he's done all these awesome books about the history of whatever the subject is. His new one specifically is Frosty the Snowman. It's a 50th anniversary scrapbook. So there's lots of tidbits. I mean, these are big books. I mean, they're really nice. I mean, they are a little bit more expensive than your average book, but I mean, these are kind of oversized and just a lot of pictures and a lot of just a lot of history inside the book. And you know, they're mostly done independently, so and they're hardback, and so the reason I didn't pick just one is because I mean, he has a book on the Mad Monster Party, or the Mad Monster Party, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and the Daydreamer. So just different books and bundles and autographed and just a big mix of things. There's some other stuff in the shop, but the books are what I focused on. And he's a really cool guy. I got to have him on Nerdy Laser a few episodes ago, and just highly recommend supporting the Rankin Bass in general and not let it go away.
That was a good episode, actually. I enjoyed the interview.
Yeah. Jonathan Williams, another friend of the station, set that up. And he was at Dragon Con this year and apparently did very well. I mean, had a long line and lots of people and had a really good time. So maybe they'll invite him back, but it can be tough. So, but yeah, he might be back at Dragon Con this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with Rick, although I've never talked to him in person, which I missed a chance to do that at Dragon Con, which I'm kicking myself. So I hope he does come back. But first of all, this dude knows his stuff. I mean, he eats, sleeps, and drinks, breathes Rankin Bass, right? So these books, I mean, he knows more about what happened than even like Rankin Bass did. They're just so knowledgeable. And every time I've seen an interview with him, he's laying down some little tidbit of something that's just mind blowing about how, because we all know these specials. We all know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman. We all know these specials, but I don't think a lot of people know where what went into making these. I think the other thing, like you said, Richard, these books are kind of, you look at them and you're like, ooh, they're kind of pricey, but A, you're right, they are independently produced, and B, they're pretty limited. Like, if you get them right when they first come out, good for you, because if you wait a couple years, you'll be paying like huge.
Yeah, there's some on eBay that are just crazy.
yeah, I mean, the demand for these books, especially the earlier editions, is insane. Because they're just there. Yeah, he could mass produce them, I guess, but you know, I mean, where's the fun?
Rick's a fascinating guy, and you're exactly right. He does eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff, man. He just knows so much, and he's so passionate about it. And he's passionate about keeping it alive. You know, I mean, a lot of this stuff, I feel is kind of slowly going away, even though it's every year. I mean, it's less and less interest in it. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, I mean, 50 years Frosty's been around. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. And, you know, to get a holiday book around the holidays, that's always cool. That's always cool. Mike, what you got? What's next off you?
Oh, well, you know, how I was mentioning earlier, Solo, wouldn't it be kind of cool every morning to wake up to your very own Millennium Falcon waffle maker? You know, you could have, you know, Chewy at your side and, you know, chewing on a good waffle at the same time. So I think it would be pretty awesome. And it's really detailed, too. It's really awesome. You know, I saw this and it was just like a whole, you know, I think I might need to get this one. And I thought it would be great for the Star Wars geek in your life. Actually, happy Christmas. Yes.
I was going to say, if anyone wants to send me one of these, I will gladly take it.
It's not that expensive.
No.
It's only $39.95.
That's great.
And, you know, it's very cool. Detailed. And it measures 7.5 inches by 9.5 inches.
Nice.
It's a pretty good size waffle.
That's a pretty good size waffle. I'd feel like big worm that came out of the asteroid, taking a bite out of the Millennium Falcon. You know,
see, then, that just makes your breakfast even more exciting.
And then after I'm eating it, I'm like, "What are they doing down there? Stop it! They're shooting Minox." No, and it's really cool. That is really nice. I missed this when I was looking at my Star Wars stuff. There's other patterns as well. Death Star, of course.
Of course, there's Death Star. There's frozen in carbonite Han Solo, you know.
Darth Vader, Stormtrooper. So if you're leaning more towards the dark side, there's pancakes for you, or waffles for you. So
it's not so bad.
Not, yeah. What kind of, yeah. What kind of syrup do you put on the Millennium Falcon?
Something that makes it run the Kessler run.
It's going to be spicy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That I had to reach for. Sorry about that. So
I know. I was like, where was he going with this one? Where was he going?
All right. So I better just go to my next one. Very cool.
Yes.
All right. So my next one is a book as well. And it's one of the best books that one of the best comics that I read this year. And it is called comic book. It's not called comic book. It is a comic book. It is called The Story of Professional Wrestling, a hardcore, high-flying, no-holds-barred story of the one true sport. And it is written by Aubrey Stitterson and with art by a good friend of the station, good friend of mine, Chris Moreno. When this project was first announced, I was happy for Chris, I didn't know he was into wrestling at the time. And I thought, well, this is going to be cool. I mean, wrestling's kind of hot right now. So they're coming out with this sort of, you know, story, history of professional wrestling, but there's no way you would be able to sort of account for the complex and different, all these sort of different ways that professional wrestling has developed over the past, I don't know, 100 years or so, it feels like. But this comic, this graphic novel is amazing. Every page is just blows my mind with the information that's there, as well as the layout of it and how easy it is to access and sort of interpret. There's some great stories in here. Of course, there's great spotlights on some of the icons that you know. A lot of stuff I didn't know, and I don't claim to be an expert, but there's a lot of stuff that I was just like, wow, this is really mind-blowing. And the artwork is fantastic, like I said. And it's pretty, like, because it just came out this year, I mean, it's pretty up-to-date when it talks about, you know, sort of women in wrestling and but it goes through a lot of the more diverse elements of wrestling and sort of what makes wrestling, why we love it, what it is about wrestling that is pretty cool. So I love this book. I think it was really well done. And like I said, it's one of the best I've read. Now, Richard, I have to ask you, because, you know, you kind of know your wrestling.
You heard of this book? Being a part of a wrestling podcast, I would have read this, but I have heard of it, actually. I've seen the cover. It's a really eye-catching cover. So I've seen the cover, and I've wanted to get it, and then I just forget about it. But it's something I really, really want to get, because I love, like, the Andre the Giant story and the Andy Kaufman story.
Yes.
The Andy Kaufman one is amazing by Box Brown. But, these kind of new graphic novels, like, autobiographies are a new thing, and wrestling has really kind of grabbed a hold of it. There's a ton of them, so it's a great pick.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. I didn't know what this was going to be like, because there are so many wrestling comic books out now, from Box Brown doing his thing to actually Jim Cornette put out a comic this year as well, sort of detailing a lot of his stories behind the scene or behind the curtain, stories from his experience. And even the Titan series that WWE does, I think, are pretty fun books as well. But this one blew me away, because it just went through, like I said, the history of it, how it developed, and what it is about it that really is interesting, as opposed to just being like a faux sport or just sports entertainment or whatever you want to call it. Like, what is it about it that makes it engaging, and on so many different kinds of levels, whether it's the WWE, whether it's Lucha, whether it's, like, you know, Japanese wrestling, that kind of thing. Like, everything, it's covered in this book, and you wouldn't think it was possible, but yet here it is. Boom. So I recommend this one. Even if you're new to wrestling, I think it's a great book and a great introduction book. And if you think you know everything about wrestling, you should read this book too, because it'll probably school you on a few things.
Oh, I should buy it for John just to school him on something.
There you go. All right. So now we are at our third, and believe it or not, folks, I believe this is our final round. So this is for like all the presents, right? All the marbles. I'm not getting marbles. Who gives marbles out? I hope you guys have better items than marbles.
You never met my grandmother, did you?
Okay. Okay, Ashley, what you got for your final pick?
All right. So this is a gift that I would recommend for the movie lovers in your life. And this is a subscription to the AMC A-List program. I promise they did not pay me to endorse this. I give them plenty of my hard-earned money every month. So the AMC A-List program is, it allows you to see up to 3 movies per week in the theater anytime you want, any showing. It's, you don't have to pay any extra for IMAX. So I like to joke that I see pretty much every movie in IMAX now. But one of the things that I appreciated most about this is that having the subscription has motivated me to go see some movies that I might not otherwise see. I really love sci-fi and superhero movies, as I'm sure we all do, and they're great. But sometimes it's nice to, you know, explore other films as well. Some ones that I have seen recently are the Ford versus Ferrari movie, which was absolutely fantastic. Starred Christian Bale and Matt Damon. And I also just recently saw the murder mystery Knives Out, which was wonderful. And so having this program allows me to go explore some new movies. So I would highly encourage it. Going to the movies, it can be a pricey experience, but this program is about $20-ish a month and would make a great gift for a movie lover and just a great way to go get out, support some smaller movies, and just kind of expand your cinematic horizons and try some new things. So I have been a member since the summer, and it would make a great gift for the people in your life who love movies.
Excellent. Yeah, I I was an unfortunate subscriber to, what was that called, Movie Card?
Like Movie Pass.
Movie Pass. Yeah, I did Movie Pass, which actually I think because of Movie Pass, I think that's why AMC stepped up their rewards program and turned it into something like that, because they were feeling some pressure to do that. And then Movie Pass just, I don't even know if it's still around, because it just kind of fizzled. It did not live up to the promise. But I must admit, a lot of the I thought the same thing, like, oh, I'm gonna have to see more movies, or I can see more movies now, this is gonna be awesome. And I just wasn't able to take advantage of it due to time, you know. But I do like the idea of it. I really love the idea of it. The fact that you just sort of have this pass, you know, it makes you feel like a VIP in a lot of ways. So it's well named.
It is fun.
So does anybody else have a pass, an AMC pass or anything like that?
No, but I might get it now.
I know you were talking about it, Mike. You were talking about maybe getting passes for you and Judy.
Mm-hmm. We go see enough movies that, you know, it's almost worth it. So.
Right.
Definitely because, curious about.
Because that's the other thing, too. I mean, if it works out that you're seeing like 3 movies a month, then, I mean, I think if you look at the cost, then I think it makes sense to do that from a practical standpoint.
Oh, very much so. And I think that's totally the way to go. Mm-hmm. So I think we're, you know, definitely going to look into it if it's not too pricey.
Ashley, is it one per person, or can you use the card to share in a way?
So it is one per person. So like I can't get other people in for free, but the nice thing is that I can buy tickets online through the app in it without getting like extra fees, like for purchasing online. So I can buy my ticket, which is free through the program, and get tickets for my friends and just pay extra for them, but they won't be charged extra fees or anything like that. And I also am part of their membership program. So I get points too for spending money. So you can redeem that for like free concessions or whatever. So if you like to go to the movies like several times a month, I think it pays for itself.
Yeah. Did you use it to get your Star Wars ticket?
I did indeed. So
I figured you locked those down already.
Yeah, bought those like within the first minute they went on sale. So
of course.
So there's no blackout dates then.
No, that is really nice. Like I was on the app and I was able to get tickets for the first IMAX screening, great seats. So they're very good about letting you kind of use it how you want to.
Yeah, and the other thing too is about now that most theaters are doing reserved seating. something like that really does is really good to have, because if you just show up at the theater just expecting to get, like, you know, middle seats, well, that might not happen, because someone might 3 days ago might have got those seats.
Exactly. Right? That's nice. I'll make a reservation a couple days ahead of time, and then you can show up just a couple minutes before showtime, go right to your seat, and you're good to go.
Wow, that's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. That is good. That is good. Mary?
All right. Well, my next one is pure nostalgia, I admit it. It is reliving my childhood. And it is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The complete series on Blu-ray. And I like this selection because it's the first series, the one I grew up on. It has the first two seasons and some of the later seasons. But those first two are the ones I remember most, the ones that began in 1969.
It's Old Man Winters. Oh, my God. Jinkies. I didn't expect that.
Oh, my God. It's such a staple of childhood. You know, Scooby-Doo, I just was always around. And I will always argue that the first two series are the best ones.
I agree.
And it's...
Yeah, I mean, it really set the tone. We just recently did a episode on the 50th anniversary of Scooby-Doo. And so I went back and rewatched that very first episode, the pilot episode, and all the ingredients were there. It was all right there. I mean, certainly as the series went on, more stuff was added and changed and adapted. And it's still strong today. I think the show that they're currently doing is pretty fun. But yeah, that first season still holds.
It does. Amazingly, it does. And you know, and this is a very fun set. It's got it covers four seasons. There's 41 episodes and just a ton of bonus features. And it comes in a really nice sort of mystery mansion shaped box. And it's got a little encyclopedia of Scooby-Doo. And it's a nice gift set for anybody who loves Scooby.
Yeah, you can just pop it on and then put it in the background and just feel all. It's almost like comfort.
Exactly,
food, right?
Exactly.
Oh God, yes. Or maybe it feels like a Scooby snack.
Yes, very cool. Yeah, I knew that they were doing some stuff for the 50th anniversary, but this set looks really nice. It really does. So that's really awesome. I would like to have that too. So, and yes, I mean, it is really nice to buying sets like this is cool because now everything is streaming. But so you need really a reason if you're going to get stuff, like, you know, in a non-streaming format and actually like buy something with, you know, to put in. So I think this package, the way it's packaged and everything like that put together, I think that's a legit reason to actually go and get this rather than just.
Yeah, streaming. I think you need to have a little extra added value these days in order to sell DVDs. Yeah. And I think they did a nice job.
Nice.
Oh, very much so.
Nice anniversary edition. Very cool. Richard?
So one of my favorite shows of this year, I don't know if anybody has watched it, but it's The Righteous Gemstones on HBO it's a Danny McBride vehicle, so Walter Goggins is in it, and John Goodman is in it. They're basically like this televangelist family, and hilarity ensues. But the DVD's not out yet or anything, but I did find today on Waxwork Records, because I got a record player this year and I've been buying as much as I can of just weird stuff that they've been putting out. And in the show, Walter Goggins' character is the brother of Amy Lee. So it's Amy Lee and baby Billy. And in the show, they have a song from the 60s that they play in the show. Well, Waxwork Records has actually produced two versions of it in a record form. And it's like, it's less than $2. I mean, you only get one song, but just having it would be funny because the 1960s version is very 1960s. The name of the song is called Misbehavin', and it's just really quirky. And I recommend, in general, Waxwork Records does a great job. I mean, I've gotten the House 1 and 2 soundtrack. I've gotten the Firefly trilogy from Rob Zombie on record form. So it's just this crazy vinyl revolution, you know.
Mm-hmm. Misbehaving is such a great song.
It's very catchy. I mean, it's an innocent song, too, I believe. I don't think there's anything crude about it, because the idea is that they were kids when they sang the song, and they became huge stars from it. And so, yeah.
It was awesome.
Anything that's got Walton Goggins as part of it is okay with me. That guy is brilliant.
He is... Baby Billy is one of the best parts of the show, and he is, because he plays like a, I don't know, like a 60-year-old guy, like, and he looks like, I don't know, he just looks like some of the TV preachers of old. Like, he's all tan and white hair, and it doesn't really look like him, but he's great. He's just so brilliant.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And yes, the man, the vinyl explosion carries on. It's crazy. But yeah, I all the special issues that are coming out, especially the ones that like Mondo are doing. I just, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I tapped out of that, because that's crazy.
And the thing, it's kind of like the Rick Goldschmidt thing. Like, they only produce so many. So once it's gone, it's gone. They never bring it back. And there's a few that I've missed out on that I kick myself. But like the Devil's Rejects, I got it. And luckily, but now it's sold out. So if you like this stuff, I mean, and people, you know, I mean, if you know somebody that's a Danny McBride fan or a Righteous Gemstones fan, you can't really get anything of it. So this would be something really cool that I'm guessing they probably don't know exists, because I didn't today.
Yeah. and yeah, that's another, that's sort of like the Scooby-Doo thing. That's, I mean, sure, you can buy digital copies, you can stream this stuff, you can listen to it on Spotify or whatever, but when you like actually give something like that to someone, and it's something tangible that they can, you know, present or have,
I've learned the hard way from video games that just because you buy it digitally doesn't mean you own it, and it can go away.
Bingo. In the blink. Hey, where's that game I paid $29 for?
Yep. I hooked up my Xbox 360 and most of that stuff is gone.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. All right. So non-digital media, take that. Analog. Analog all the way, baby.
Damn straight.
All right, Mike. All right. What you got?
Real easy for us, and something we're all familiar here on the network with. What else would I want everyone to give for their holiday gifts? Why, a subscription to the ESO Network Patreon. Yeah, I did.
Oh, you didn't.
Why not support your favorite podcast network while, you know, putting a smile on our faces and putting a smile on your face? So I just thought it would be a great gift to give the ESO Network, especially with all the new stuff that's coming your way in 2020. There's all a brand new show possibly coming up, just as exclusive for Patreon. And we have a lot of exclusives. We still have more Dragon Con stuff to put out there. So you guys are going to get a lot of stuff coming to you. And for as little as 25 cents a week, you could subscribe and help support the ESO Network.
Now, how does that work as far as
you can easily gift it? You could, buy it and then give the link, the sign-in link to your best friend. It's pretty darn easy.
So if you're a patron of other stuff, then that means they can have access to all your other stuff? Like, how can you actually gift a membership?
There's a way on Patreon, actually, in all truth and seriousness, that you can gift, you know, do a subscription in somebody's name. And such. So it's pretty darn awesome.
Cool. Good.
Glad I did the research. I wouldn't have done this if I didn't.
All right. Well, cool. Well, that's, I don't know how I could top that.
That is
that's
everything.
You know, the ESO network, is everything and all things. So, so I'm going to take it down a little bit. This is an item that actually was probably one of my best purchases of the year. So I think that folks should be interested to see this. It is a Hex brand backpack. Now, there's Hex makes a lot of really amazing backpacks. But Jim Lee, who is a... Jim Lee is one of the like main men behind comics today. He's got some high up title at DC Comics, and he has been an influencer for a long time of all comics. And he has designed a series of backpacks through Hex Company, one of which is for called the Artist Backpack, that you can carry your portfolio in and items and everything like that. And everything is thought out. But he's also got a collector's backpack as well. And these things, I got myself a collector's backpack. And this thing is amazing. It is comfortable. The shape of it is a little bit unlike, when I think of backpacks, and the ones that I've had before are kind of these like roundish things that poke out. So when you've got a stomach like mine, it like makes it my back look like as huge as my stomach in the front. So it makes me like round. Whereas this is kind of a nice a flat surface that goes on my back. There's tons of pockets for all sorts of things. Everything is thought out, where you can put your water, where you can put your poster tube, where you can put pens, your phone, your MARTA card, transit card, that kind of thing. It's water resistant. There's a lock on the zipper so that people can't access it that easily. And what I really love, I think the most important thing here that I like is that the design of it, the shape of it, and the design of it inside is such that you can put your, say, your laptop in there, your MacBook in there. And then you can put your comics or other books in there, ones that you've had signed or signatures that you've gotten at conventions. You can put them in these little like padded pockets so they don't scrape on everything. They don't bend. They just stay like preserved within their own little like comfortable pocket. It's really cool. There is a limited edition one that has, of course, a Jim Lee drawing of Batman on it, which goes for a little bit more money. I just got the basic model, and look, I mean, it's, I think, you know, as far as colors and customization, it's pretty like the basic model is just this sort of like black, but you can do whatever you want with it. You can put whatever pins you want on there. You can paint on it. You can, I mean, it allows you to be as creative as you want to on the bag itself. I just think this is an amazing, bag, and I use it. I found it very helpful, not only as a collector going to conventions, like going through Artist Alley and whatnot, because I really knew that I needed something like this when I went to Heroes Con and in June. And then by the time Dragon Con came out, I already had my backpack because I signed up for the original Kickstarter. And boy, what a difference it made. Dragon Con was so much easier to carry my stuff around with this thing. So I definitely recommend people check it out. And I can only imagine if you're an artist, and I don't know, Mary, maybe you can speak to this if you're looking at it. Like, it seems like the artist version of this is really thought out too. So as far as pockets and being able to fit everything in there as well.
Yeah, this thing looks amazing. I mean, if you're an artist, especially if you're an artist who's working at a con, carrying all your stuff around, this just looks, you know, like the perfect thing to have.
It's really incredible. And it's really, you know, as far as backpack goes, I think the price is pretty reasonable. I don't know if the limited edition is still around, but I think the collector's backpack, the one that I got, I think is like around 100, 150, something like that.
Yeah, that's not bad at all for a really good backpack.
Right, for a really solid backpack. And I think it does fit safely underneath a, you know, an airplane seat if you're traveling, that kind of thing. It's pretty portable. So, yeah, I recommend it. So we'll put a link to that, of course, on there. Hopefully it can help folks out with their back issues at conventions. and you know, just trying to keep everything straight. I think it does a really great job of organizing stuff for people. If you're an organization type guy, which most geeks are, I think. So that's my main pick. I know that a lot of us probably have some honorable mentions, something that maybe we thought of, or maybe just in general. Ashley, do you have anything that you want to just sort of lay out there as far as cool things that people should check out?
Yes, I do. I have a couple honorable mentions. My first one is the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge cookbook.
Ooh.
So I know that many Star Wars fans are really excited about going to Galaxy's Edge. I don't know when I will be able to go, but they have put together this little cookbook with Star Wars themed foods. And I wouldn't have necessarily been as excited about it, but I heard some of the hosts talking about it on a Star Wars podcast that I listened to, and they said that there's actually some like real food items in here, like good type of recipes that you would want to serve to company, just Star Wars themed. So if you take a look at it on Amazon, it's got some great photography, looks really fun. So if you can't make it to Galaxy's Edge in the next couple of years, this could be a slightly less expensive alternative.
You can eat like you're there.
That's right. Yes. So in the comfort of your own home while watching Star Wars on Disney Plus, I guess.
Right. While watching The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Eating some, do they have the little, well, not spoilers, but the little like blue shrimpy things?
I have not looked for that. Maybe they'll have to come out with an
expansion. I know frog legs are really popular this year on it.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda on a stick.
No. Oh, no.
Oh.
Too soon.
I don't know when Galaxy's Edge first, at least I heard this, when Galaxy's Edge first opened, the restaurants there were all the menus, and I think you can still get them this way, where the menus were all pretty much like alien type foods in their description. But then once a lot of people were complaining because they had no idea what was really in them, because you'd have to ask the server to explain it for you. So they made other menus that kind of were like had more descriptive in terms of what meat was actually in there and that kind of thing. But I've heard you can get some really exotic type foods that actually taste really good in those places.
Yes. So I think this cookbook would be a fun way. If you like to cook and if you're a geek, this could be a fun little thing to do for a dinner party.
Absolutely. Very cool. Very cool. Anything else?
Yes. And finally, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, I found some specialty Game of Thrones wines. Whether you'd like to celebrate the ending of the series or whether you hated it and you want to drown your sorrows, there are some specialty Game of Thrones wine on wine.com. And there are actually several different geek-themed wines that I've heard of. I believe that there's been some Lord of the Rings-themed wines. I had a friend who ordered some Star Trek-themed wines. So again, kind of a unique gift. It's something you can actually use. Of course, you can drink the wine, but it has a fun theme and cool bottles that you can display after you've had it. So this could be a good little hostess or host gift to take to a holiday party that you're going to at a fellow geek's house.
Yeah, custom wines are really the thing. I know that Stephen Amell has actually got a lot of celebrity wines that he's producing.
Yes.
Including one recently, Richard, you know, right from for Chris Jericho's a little bit of the bubbly.
I forgot they actually did do that.
Yeah, I ordered two bottles myself. So that's how much of a Jericho-holic I am, and an alcoholic too. So it mixes both of the holics right there, right? I was familiar with Game of Thrones whiskey because I knew that they had come out with some scotch whiskey for single malt whiskeys for Game of Thrones related, but I didn't know they had wines, but that's really cool.
Yes, I'm a big wine person. So anytime you compare that with something geeky is a win for me.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Anything else?
That is it.
Yeah, that's a lot. She's recommending Getting Loaded.
That's right. Make some food from your Galaxy's Edge cookbook, a bottle of wine, and there's your evening.
Those makes those family dinners so much better.
Oh, exactly. You have no idea.
Exotic alien food and booze.
Barry, what more do you need, honestly? Happy holidays.
And play some cards.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds like a good weekend to me. All right. Mary, any honorable mentions from you?
I do have some. The first is just a fun little thing. Very affordable. Only $15. It is a solar photography kit. And it's just really fun to play around with if you like making prints or you're just you like to mess around, and it's very easy to do, and you're using the power of sunlight to produce prints of whatever you want, common objects, or it's fun to take something like lace and cut out shapes and that sort of thing. And you can get, there's a kit for paper and a kit for fabric. And the fabric one's really fun because you can sew them together and make stuff out of them. And it's actually based on a process pioneered by Anna Atkins, who was the first female photographer in 1842. And you get really cool effects from it. And it'd be a fun, like, stocking stuffer type of thing. Only $15, and I think great gift for a child or anyone who's interested in a kind of a unique form of printmaking that creates some truly striking images. So, yeah, have a little budding artist in your life. This is a good one.
Yeah, that is very cool. Way to be creative.
Yeah, and the next one is the Witch Hat Atelier, which is it's a lovely illustrated story in the style of Studio Ghibli. If you like Studio Ghibli, you're going to love this. It's a graphic novel. There's a whole series of them. I think they're up to 5 now. And it's about a girl who longs for magic. And it's just a lush and gorgeously drawn fantasy world. A fantastic blend of art and storytelling, and a great gift for people who love beautifully drawn comics. I mean, if you like Little Nemo or...
It looks a lot like that. Very similar.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just beautifully drawn. I just get caught up in the illustrations.
Yeah, it does look really gorgeous, the illustrations. Very cool. Very cool. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. That's all she wants. That's all that's on her list. Yep. Richard, what about you? Any honorable mentions?
I picked up this, I think earlier this year, maybe later last year, but it's Choose Your Own Adventure. It's a game instead of the book. So the first one is called House of Danger, and it's kind of reminds me of like sort of D&D, where, because you have one person that's kind of reading the story to everybody. And you can actually play this game by yourself, too, so you don't have to have friends.
Friends?
Wow.
I can relate.
I may not have played this game by myself.
No reason. They would be embarrassed about that.
I mean, it's kind of an all ages thing. It's really easy to play, and it's just a lot of possibilities, just like the books. So I recommend it. And then, what kind of wrestling fan would I be if I didn't mention the Mayor Kane book? Glenn Jacobs is the mayor of Knox County, which is about a half hour from where I live. And he wrote a book, and it just came out on November 26th. You can get it on Audible, where Glenn Jacobs, Kane himself, narrates the book. So that might be how I go. I think I'd rather listen to Kane's sultry pipes, tones. I don't know where I was going with that. But if you're a wrestling fan, some wrestling books, you know, are good. Wrestling books are really good, especially with Kane, who's been around forever, and hopefully he'll tell a good Isaac Yankum story.
Yes, as long as he does have a good Katie Vick story. look, Kane has been through, I think, bar any other superstar, some of the worst storylines in WWE, WWF.
And some of the best.
Yeah, some of the best, but I mean, man, he's really even worse.
Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy?
Oh my goodness. So I think it would be really interesting to hear his story.
Yeah, he was in Knoxville on Saturday signing books for it. And I was gonna go until I found out Todd McFarlane was about 2.5 hours from here, so I drove to meet Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, good choice.
I can really meet him anytime I want.
And he's a great guy.
He's really nice. He's really good for the community around here.
You just got to be careful which brother you start threatening. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, exactly. You get the other bed. Right? Ooh, yeah, because he's not retired. He'll take you out.
Exactly.
He'll choke slam you.
Damn straight.
All right, Mike. Mike, any more? Any honorable mentions from you?
I got two. The first one I'm going to talk about is, of course, real quickly, for the handyman in your life and God of Thunder, there is a Thor hammer tool set. That's right. You just slam it down to the ground. It opens up. And yes, you can have all the tools to your heart's desire. It even has in it a ratchet set. It has screwdrivers. It has a small hammer. And it even has room for tape. It's really awesome, actually.
That is fantastic.
You know, it's just awesome. It's $70 but you know, you don't need to have a toolkit. You could cosplay at the same time, you know, and go, honey, I will fix that toilet for you as I go to Midgard. You know, it's pretty awesome.
Oh man, just show up at the construction site with this.
Exactly.
This and your little Marvel lunchbox.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll be real popular, you know. And actually, the last honorable mention was picked by my wife. Actually, it is a brain specimen coaster. It's each coaster is a slice of a brain MRI.
Oh.
It is pretty darn awesome. Oh. Judy said in honor of her having her epileptic surgery this last year, she thought, what better holiday gift to have a picture of her brain for everybody to prove that she has one. So it's pretty darn awesome. So you put it.
Are they customizable? You mean
No, they're not. They're not customizable. That would be awesome. Like,
what?
Actually, that's a great idea.
That is pretty darn. Have it all customized. But it's each coaster is a different slice of the brain from the MRI, and you put it together and it's a full 3D model of a human brain.
Actually, that is really cool.
Yeah, it is pretty darn awesome. And there's 10 coasters. So you have 10 different, you know, pieces, you know, of it. And that's how they do it. They just slice it, you know, that's how they see like where people have tumors, people have different, you know, issues with your brain. It's pretty darn cool.
Wow, that is unique. That's the those are some pretty cool stuff, man.
So those are my.
I had no idea any of that existed. I got three real quick. One is a book that just came out, just released. I don't have this book, so hint, hint. People can, you know, it's on my wish list. But it is a. Book called Marvel's Spider-Man from Amazing to Spectacular, a definitive comic art collection. It is by Matt Singer. I listened to Matt talk about this on a podcast interview, and he's a big Spider-Man fan, and he really put his heart into this book. This covers Spider-Man, anybody who's been following Spider-Man in the comics, and this is focused on his experiences in the comics. So from the very first issue of Amazing Fantasy in 1962, actually Amazing Fantasy 15, the very first issue featuring Spider-Man, from up till maybe this last year, Spider-Man's been involved in some crazy storylines. stupidly crazy. But he's also had some really amazing stories too. And Matt kind of cuts through all that and covers basically all you need to know, and about not just about Peter Parker himself, but about the Spider-Verse. And it's a coffee table edition. So we've all seen these coffee table edition art books, and some of them are just gorgeous to look at, but they don't really have a lot of substance to them. I like books that are like really like the authors have passion about these projects, and you learn a little something, and they're actually do the topic justice. Because you could have a Spider-Man book that just looked pretty of all the images that have been in the comics, a cover art or whatever over the years, but this is actually a very, very good comprehensive history of the character, which sounds really cool to me. And so I recommend that. I also recommend that, and this I had a hard time, I'm just going to generally put this out there. It's not a specific book, but there's a company that I've become aware of this year called Attachin Publishers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. Maybe mm-hmm. I was just late to this. Mm-hmm. These guys, I think they're a European publisher, and they put out some amazing books. Two books in particular that I have gotten to a chance to read over the course of the last year have been a Tiki Pop art book, which is just phenomenal in its coverage and its imagery, and also a career like filmography guide to the films of Alfred Hitchcock. And it goes through every single one of his movies in such detail. Now, I've been following Alfred Hitchcock. I've been a fan of his since I can remember. And I've picked up every book that I can, every resource that I can. But I'm telling you, this book itself had pictures and image and stuff and information in there that I'd never seen before. So talk about comprehensive. This is... And just well done. I mean, they're just, it's very comprehensive. It has made me want to go back and watch his entire filmography along with this book, just to do that, because I think it would be a great experience. There's some beautiful art books with this. Heck, if you like kittens, there's a cat's book that a photographer of cats from 1942 to 1980 that I think just recently came out. These are gorgeous coffee table books, gift kind of books that you just have out there, and real conversation starters. But also the people who will write this, much like the Spider-Man book I talked about, these people know their stuff. And they also, I guess, do those archive books. I don't know if you've seen like the James Bond archives or the Stanley Kubrick archives, where it's a book, but it's also got materials in there that kind of talk about, that kind of represent the some of the yep. The subjects of these books. So, and you know, for being an overseas publisher, they're pretty available. They're pretty much available here in the States. I mean, you can get them on Amazon, you can get them at most places, and they're just a really great publisher that I just became, like I said, became aware of this year. And last but certainly not least, because I think this is another one that I sort of give a shout out to every year, so I'll be quick about it. But for, of course, the new year, you need a calendar. And the people at Asgard Press make the best calendars, especially if you're a DC fan. If you're a DC Comics fan, they do these vintage DC Comics calendars, which our good friend Bill Jourdain does some of the... text on, and some of the actual cover art comes from books in his collection. But they're really starting to expand out a little bit this year, because they are, in addition to just a vintage DC book calendar, which they come out with every year, they also come out with a Superman one. Batman one. And last year, I think they, for the first time, they came out with one on Wonder Woman, which is gorgeous. I had a copy of that. But this year, they're also, in addition to all of those, they're also printing a vintage Supergirl calendar featuring the cover art from her various adventures over the years. And that one looks incredible. So girl power, right? I mean, it looks like... these are selling just as well as the others are. So And there's great artwork. They look great on the wall. It's like you've got vintage art on the wall, as well as when the calendar's done, when the year's done, you don't want to throw these away. Each one of these is perforated. So if you want to frame it or put it up somewhere else, that kind of thing, without the calendar section, you can do that as well. They're just really well made. And I give Asgard Press a lot of praise for that. Not only DC, unfortunately, they don't do the Marvel books anymore. For some reason, they lost that license. Maybe Disney is at fault. I don't know. But if you're into sports teams, college teams, football, et cetera, they do a lot of football teams as well. So if you're into that, check out Asgard Press. But yep, I had to give them a final shout out as well. So, wow. That's a lot of stuff that we've gone over. Any sort of last word on anything that we missed besides Baby Yoda?
You know, it was good. support artists.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Yeah, as I said at the top, there's plenty of artists out there that are doing customizable work that are amazing. They will do like one of a kind pieces, not just you know, your standard pinup artwork or whatever. Some of them will be quite creative, right, Mike? And create, oh, I don't know, customizable pop figures for you.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, there's a lot of people trying to put stuff together on Kickstarter and get their project made, and they could use that money during the holidays as well. So I definitely strongly suggest that you look their way as well this holiday season. So as well as always. But I think that's going to be about covering it, because, you know, that's enough. I mean, if you got enough money to pay for all this stuff, then we definitely want you part of our patron. You definitely can support the network.
Oh, so even for 25 cents a week, you can do that.
Exactly. So, heck, we'll have you here on the station.
We will? Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay.
If you purchase all the things on all our list, yeah, we'll have you on the station.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's like a scavenger hunt, right? You just got to show us the receipts and boom, you're on. So
exactly. See, you know, especially if you do at the $15 level. No, just saying.
Well, cool. Well, happy holidays, everyone. I hope that gives you guys a lot of ideas, and we will be back to close the show.
Oh, spotty bell, swinging through midtown. Oh, what fun to sling a web and take the bad guys down. Spotty bell, spotty bell.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
So that's going to wrap up another episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast. Thank you, folks at home, for joining us for the first episode of Season 2 of Earth Station 1. We are real excited to be able to come to you for the next 500, as we like to say. It's going to be a lot of fun to join with Mr. Mike and, of course, our guests. Thank you guys so much. Richard, thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me on, even though I left y'all.
That's okay. Like I said, on your way out, drop your key, and you know,
fair enough.
You might get your security deposit back. I've seen your section of this station, especially what Don did to it.
Yeah, I tried to control him, but
I know. Anything you want to shout out about, sir?
The Nerdy Laser Podcast, the Assignment Horror Podcast, and the PWR Spot Show. That's our wrestling show. You can find all those on Apple Podcasts, and just look for Palaver Podcast. You get one feed and three shows. It's all confusing, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Nerdy Laser, and over on Facebook as well.
That is awesome, sir. You guys have still been doing a great job and liking the shows you guys have.
Thank you, Mike. And I mean, we couldn't have done it without you guys, really. I mean, you guys kind of got us together and mentored us, and we really appreciate everything you guys did for us.
Oh, dude, not a problem. And it was always a pleasure having you part of the family. And even though you're not part of the ESO network, you're still part of the family.
Well, thanks.
But we'll have to wait on the security deposit, like I said.
Fair enough. I get that in Earth Station books, right?
Of course. The same stuff that you get back from the geek seat. It's
hey,
awesome.
Look, I think I've heard we have to redo the carpet, so don't plan on getting any of that deposit money back.
Oh, man, again. Jeez.
That was Jerry Chandler.
Color me not surprised at all. And Mary, thank you as always. It's nice having you on this side of the station.
Oh, thank you so much. This is always a really fun episode to do. I really enjoyed it.
Anything you want to shout out about?
Just you can find my artwork at maryogle.com or on Etsy at eVision Arts.
Excellent. And Ashley, aloha, aloha, aloha.
Yes.
I should be playing Tiny Thank Bubbles you. Or something behind you here.
I know, I'm closing my eyes and dreaming of the beach, but
you probably could still hear it in your ears.
Yes, yes, I can.
That is awesome. Anything you want to shout out about?
Yes, I have joined a podcast talking about The Mandalorian over on the Story Geeks Talk Disney Plus channel. So we break down each episode as they air each week. And of course, I will always take an opportunity to talk about Star Wars. So we've been having a good time and can't wait to see what is coming in the rest of the season.
That is awesome. Yeah, it just gets better and better. It's really awesome.
Yes, it does.
They have and been. Of course, they have been great to listen to, and I guess they're on the second episode, third.
Yes. Second episode. Yeah, it was great to have you on.
So that was a lot of fun. Thanks for that. And yeah, I've been listening to you guys as well. Each time there's an episode, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear what they think.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty darn cool. And she still has time to associate with us. This is awesome. Oh.
I just have a podcast and blogging addiction. Like, I just can't stop now that I've started.
Color
see,
me
see
not
another
surprised.
Monster we created, Mike.
I know. Actually, all three of our guests this week, you know? So, I know. God, we just create them, and then they leave the nest and just go, it's cool. It's okay, but it's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, Richard's like emailing Ashley's like, oh yeah, we could talk later. If you want an exit strategy, just talk to me.
Oh, I can exit all of you just like that. That's the great thing.
It's off the recording.
Yeah. Oh, it's
right out
it's,
the airlock.
Airlock, I have the button right here. It's not a problem right there. And Mr. Mike, number 501 is in the can.
Yeah, it is, man. This is like, wow, this is weird. 501. Why didn't we have like anybody from like, Ashley, you're not a member of the 501st, right?
Unfortunately, not yet. Not
so
yet.
We don't have an official member of the 501st for our 501st episode.
This wow. is when we should have had Alex on. Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah. I know, right? Well, one thing I want to give a shout out to is, I didn't get a chance to mention this with all the, you know, stuff that we were doing for $4.99 and $500 and all that sort of stuff. But in the last couple of weeks, I got to see the premiere of a feature length film by our good friends, Ryan Cadaver, Kevin Slayfield from the Casket Creatures. They made an independent action epic called Joe Stryker. It's now available on Blu-ray. I recommend you check it out. If you like cheesy action movies from the late 80s, 90s, this is right up your alley. It's amazing. It's great. It's funny. It features, among other cast members, the award-winning writer Bobby Nash in a role, as well as some other familiar faces to people who have been here on the network on our show. But I'm astounded that when Ryan says he's going to do something, he just goes out and does it. And it's amazing the amount of energy, creative energy that this kid has. And I'm just happy to support everything he does because everything he does just comes out amazing, way better than you think it should. And Joe Stryker is, it was fun at the premiere that I saw a couple weeks ago. I have the DVD, the blooper reel is amazing. And I just recommend it. People check it out. And also there's a, I guess there's going to be a sequel too. They've already greenlit a sequel for it, but.
Yeah, I've got the Blu-ray. It's awesome. Like,
I agree. Yeah, it is really fun.
That is awesome. Very fun. I don't know if I've had a chance to do my shout out about Kevin Smith. And basically, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back is now roaming the country. That's right, folks. Kevin is not releasing a wide release of the movie, but he's going town by town and doing showings of it and doing a Q&A after each one. Right now he is in the UK talking about it during the week of Thanksgiving here in the United States. And then he's going to be back on the road, I think, in the next week or two in the United States. And I know he's coming to all these different areas. And I think one of the stops he's going to be doing is Macon, Georgia. So folks who are here, and I know he's ending the tour in New Orleans, Louisiana, where they filmed most of the movie. So it's pretty darn awesome. And it's just a ton of fun. If you have seen any Kevin Smith movies, this is, you know, a tour de force. It's an homage to almost every single one of his films. Cameos up the wazoo, to say. And, you know, as we like to say, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. So it's perfect. And so it's a lot of fun. Go see it if you get the chance. It'll be probably streaming or probably, you know, on Blu-ray or 4K probably by the spring. So definitely worth checking out. Speaking of worth checking out, please join us again next week. And until then, my name is Mike Faber, and we will see you next time here on the Earth Station One podcast. Peace, and we are done. You've been listening to the Earth Station One podcast, a show by fans for fans. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to our show up on iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are found. While you're up there, please rate us and remember to leave feedback. It would greatly be appreciated. And remember to tell your friends all about us while you're at it. Earth Station One is available on most social media sites where you can join some really great topics or chats. Help support our show by shopping through our Amazon.com link or purchasing very cool ESO Network clothing and merchandise at our TeePublic store. Links to both are found on the top of our ESO Network webpage. Become a patron of the ESO Network by backing us up on Patreon for as little as 25 cents a week. Go to patreon.com/ESO Network to sign up. We want to hear from you. Please write us at earthstation1@esonetwork.com or call us at 404-963-9057. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time here on the Earth Station One podcast. Peace, and we're done.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.